With over 450 million books in print, Dean Koontz is considered one of the world's most iconic writers, certainly one of the most popular. His capacity to interweave themes of love, suspense, mystery, and fantasy are at work in his new novel, Innocence, a novel that defies classification. It's equal parts heart-wrenching romance, urban fantasy, and supernatural epic. Innocence is the perfect entry point into the Koontz canon, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Dean Koontz to the program. Thank you very much for being with us. Always a pleasure to have you aboard.
A pleasure to be there.
What brought you to the story that you tell in Innocence?
Well, you know, over the years when I've done book signings, several thousand times people have probably said to me, I guess you get a lot of ideas from dreams. And I always said, nope, not ever. I've not gotten one from a dream. And then early last year, I woke up one morning at 4 a.m. from a dream. And in the dream, I was having lunch with Thomas Tryon, who was an actor and a novelist back in the day. And he had several bestsellers, including The Other, which was a very big one. And I never knew Thomas Tryon. I hadn't read him in probably 15 years, and I think he's been gone for about 18. But for some reason in the dream, there I was having lunch with him, and we were celebrating his new book, which was his biggest success yet. And we were having some wine, and we were talking about our favorite scenes in the book. And as the scenes were talked about, I saw them like a dream within a dream, although they were in color, and I never otherwise dream in color. And when I sat up at 4 in the morning, I had the basic idea of Innocence, and I couldn't wait to write it. It was one of the most pleasant writing experiences of my life. But as I've said to a couple of friends, the only thing I'm worried about is when I pass over to the other side, Thomas Tryon will be there with attorneys.
Give us an idea of how you came then to this character of Addison Goodhart, who pretty much the last name explains a lot about this individual, in that a very good person.
Well, Addison is he's the innocence of the title. He's a very innocent person, but he's also fearsome in appearance. And on the night that he was born, the midwife who birthed him in a remote house high on a mountainside tried to kill him with a birthing blanket, and his mother protected him. However, 8 years later, his mother said, I can no longer stand to look at you. I can't have you around. It's killing me to have you here. And she turns him out into the world at the age of 8. And anyone he runs into becomes infuriated at the sight of him and terrified, and frequently turns to violence. And he has to live secretly in the world. He makes his way into a city, and he takes up residence when he encounters an older man who has the same problem he does, that they are two of a kind. And he finds out there may be what he calls we of the hidden who live secretly among you. And he and this man he calls father end up living beneath the city in subway tunnels and storm drains and various pathways that underlie a great metropolitan center. And they are living there until something terrible happens to father, and Addison's left alone for 6 years. And when he's 26, he goes into the city library in the middle of the night because he knows all the ways to get into buildings from beneath the streets. And he spends a lot of time in the library. But this night at 2 or 3 in the morning, he runs into a girl who is something of an outcast herself. And thus begins this romance. It's sort of a little Beauty and the Beast, a little Elephant Man, a little Phantom of the Opera, but in the end, nothing like any of this.
And in many ways, unlike anything that you've written before, because there is that dreamlike quality to it that permeates the entire novel.
And it has a quality of fable to it that I was trying for something here that everybody, no matter where they live in the world, could relate to. And there's nothing like that quality of fable in a novel to make it universal and appeal, I hope.
So what are the challenges in writing that? Is it a different mindset when you are writing a fable, when you are writing in almost a dreamlike state?
Well, you know, I love the English language, and one of the great pleasures of writing is to try to use it to the best possible effect, and especially in this book, because you have to put yourself in a mind frame where you describe the scenes in such a way that they're extremely vivid. and yet feel like something that you would see in a fantasy. And although it's a real city and a real world I'm describing, and I had to do a lot of research for what underlies the city, and it's real in all its details, it's the way you describe it that can kind of gives it a dreamlike quality. It's kind of tough, but it's a delightful thing. I often say that my work is work, but it's also play. And in this book, I had a great deal more fun even than usual.
I'm fascinated by your use of language, and I'm curious as to how much of it, when you say the word play, of how much of it is rewriting and rewriting and rewriting and playing to get that sentence to where you want it to be.
Well, there's a lot of polish. Sometimes a page will take me 20 or 30 drafts. I always work on one page trying to perfect it before moving on to the next. I don't do a quick draft through and then go back. There's a lot of polish in it, but sometimes, rarely, but sometimes you get into what psychologists call a flow state or what athletes call being in the zone, and you find the writing coming more easily than usual and may need less polish. And if it does need polish, as much as usual, each of those drafts of the page goes faster than usual. And this was a book like that. I wrote a book very early in my career called Watchers that also I had that experience with, and maybe the first Odd Thomas. But it isn't something that comes to you often, and when it does, you're kind of amazed by it. It sort of tells you, wow, you could do it this way all the time if you just know how to turn this on. But if you think about it too much, that flow state kind of dwindles away. So you just be thankful that it's there and don't question it too much.
On that subject of thinking about it too much, one of the things that is said about you so often, and I think rightfully so, is that you always come up with new ways of telling a story. And is that conscious? I mean, in the sense of that drive not to repeat yourself, to come up with something that is completely different and a new way of telling a story that quite frankly will be marketable to the people who love you.
It's partly a conscience thing in that I've said before I have a low boredom threshold, and when I'm sitting here working, I have to be entertaining myself. And if I'm not entertaining myself, I always figure, well, it's not going to entertain anyone else. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But I do have to get myself engaged. And one of the ways that I do that works for me is to take on a challenge, try to do something I haven't done before. And if the prospect is always there that you may fall flat on your face, it energizes you in a way and brings you more intently to the work. I'm working on a book now which is told from the point of view of a 57-year-old musician who is a piano man who has something happened to him when he was between the ages of 10 and 14, and he is talking all of this into a recorder, and it's written more like oral history than like the novel usually will be dramatically laid out. And it's been quite a challenge, but again, it's huge fun to do it if it works. If it doesn't work, well, I can always learn plumbing or something.
It always seems that you are as comfortable, and feel free to dispute this statement, but it seems that you're as comfortable writing dialogue than you are of writing very beautiful passages of description.
It's when dialogue is working, it's because the characters work and you've let them become real people. That sounds strange, but you can give characters free will, as God gave us free will, and you can let them go where they want to go. And yes, you're writing it, but something very strange takes over. And I've heard other writers who feel this way, that the character becomes so real that you're not quite ever sure what the character is going to do or what he's going to say. And when the character starts to speak, if the character's true, the dialogue starts ringing real to you. And if it's funny dialogue, I can sit here and laugh out loud at it as if I'm hearing it rather than writing it. And if something moving occurs, I can be moved to tears with it. And as I say, people here at work in the house go by the office door and hear me sometimes laughing, sometimes crying, talking to myself. They probably think I should be institutionalized, but so far I've escaped that.
Do you think there is such a thing as innocence?
There definitely is in the world. I mean, it's hard in this world for any of us to be completely innocent, some of us more than others. But it is that innocence that I think we need to seek to recover. Certainly the world was more innocent when I was growing up. You know, when I was a kid, you could get on your bicycle and ride miles and miles, go all over the place, and no one would have ever even thought there was a danger to a child alone on a bicycle. The world now is a world where that isn't so, isn't nearly safe in that sense for many others. And I don't think I'm just a geezer looking back on it saying, oh, it was so much better in my time. I think it was more innocent, and there's something to be said for that. Society, I think, has more coherence when there's a sense of innocence instilled in children and in people general, and a sense of codes of conduct. We've sort of lost all that.
The name of the new novel is Innocence. It is published by Bantam. Dean Kuntz, it's always a pleasure to speak with you. I wish you a very happy new year in 2014, and I thank you very much for spending time with us once again.
Well, thanks for listening to me babble again. You always do it quite well.
It's always a delight. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Again, the title of the book is Innocence. It is published by Bantam. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.